Hey everyone, it's Sergeant Ben Houtkooper. I'm a producer with the show. And I wanted to let all of you, our podcast listeners, know that there's a really good reason we're releasing this show one day earlier than usual. It's a bit of a secret, and it was tough to keep from Tom throughout the entire recording, so feel free to listen on, or if you can't stand the suspense, feel free to skip ahead. It'll be about 5 minutes from the end of the show. Thank you all for being listeners. Thank you for spreading the word about Minnesota Military Radio. And here's to another 10 years.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with the Minneapolis VA about digital dentistry and then check in on the VESI chapter of the Association of the United States Army. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Veterans Day is a celebration of all those who have served and continue to serve our nation with honor and distinction. Each year we pay tribute to American veterans for their devotion, patriotism, selfless service, and sacrifice on behalf of all of us. Their loyalty to our country and their great courage have made us what we are today and what we've been for more than two centuries, a beacon of hope in an increasingly complex world. We say thank you not only to them, but also to their families, for they too have sacrificed. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, please join me in wishing a happy Veterans Day to those who have served and those who continue to serve this great nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said at the opening, we're going to speak with the Minneapolis VA today about digital dentistry. And digital dentistry is not a game changer. It's a totally new game. We can provide services that allow multiple specialists and multiple facilities to view, consult, and plan veteran care. This can be accomplished in a very high degree of accuracy and be done without the veteran having to be in the clinic. And joining us to talk about that today is Dr. Daniel Bates from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center. Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Sir, I understand you served in the military in a couple of branches.
I did. Started out in the Army. Was born and raised in northeastern Ohio. Hopefully the Gophers won't hold that against me. Spent 10 years in the Army, unfortunately, because of the economic situation at the time. Wasn't a whole lot to do. Loved my time in the military, 10 years there, but I hit that 10-year mark, and like a lot of veterans, I said, well, if I go one day over 10, I might as well stay 20. I got out one day short of 10 and went back to school.
And you graduated from Ohio State College of Dentistry.
I did indeed, and hopefully the Gophers, again, won't hold that against me, but I do bleed scarlet and gray, so luckily we're not playing each other this year, so there won't be any of that. But not long after 9/11, that really upset me, and I ended up in the Montana Air National Guard, spent a couple years with them, and then ended up going back on active duty where I completed my prosthodontic residency at Lackland Air Force Base. Did a couple of stints in different places with the Air Force, and then retired out of the Air Force and couldn't stay away from the military. I think once you put the uniform on, you never really take it off. Ended up down at Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma, working with the U.S. Army down there. And I was a clinic director and was there for about 9 years. My wife is a Northern California girl, and, of course, I was born and raised in Ohio, and we missed the snow. We kind of got tired of the hot weather down in Oklahoma, and my wife said, let's find something we can do, and luckily, Minneapolis VA fit the bill.
So, sir, you joined the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center in January of this year, 2020, and I'm sure when you got there, no one ever dreamed of the COVID-19 pandemic hitting the world, and it's been kind of a strange year, hasn't it?
It absolutely has. I want to say thanks to the veterans out there that patronize us here at the VA and put their trust in us. It's been a really difficult time for everybody. There's been a lot of situations that we've had to deal with and our veterans have had to deal with. And just want to let them know I appreciate that as a fellow veteran. And it's been an odd year, but hopefully when we punch out of this one and get to 2021, things will look up for us.
We're speaking with Dr. Daniel Bates on Minnesota Military Radio, and our topic today is digital dentistry. And Dr. Bates is the Chief of Dental Services at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center, joined the Minneapolis VA in January. And, sir, our topic, digital dentistry, When I saw that topic coming up on my show plan, I thought, what in the world is that? Perhaps you can enlighten me a little bit, sir.
Sure. It's not really all that new, surprisingly, but doesn't get a lot of discussion outside of the dental field. A lot of people are familiar with some of the stuff that's being done digitally in some of the other medical fields, but dentistry, kind of not so much. And believe it or not, and most people, most of our veterans probably would agree with this, much in dentistry hasn't changed in the past couple of hundred years, believe it or not. Recently went to a museum and saw some of the dental instruments that were laid out from just about the time of the Civil War. Most dentists nowadays would know exactly what they were because what we're using isn't a whole lot different than what was developed back then, until along came digital dentistry. What we're doing now is many of the things that would have been done by hand and that took a significant amount of time for us to accomplish are now being done in virtual space on the computer.
So, sir, maybe we could use the example of getting a crown. I've had a couple of crowns put on, and you go into the dentist, and they grind down the tooth, and then they take a mold and take a form, and then they disappear for a while, and they come back, and they've got a temporary crown. And then you go away, and you come back in a few days later, and then they try to put on the permanent crown that's been manufactured somewhere else. Does digital dentistry change that process?
It changes the entire process. So what you will see now, hopefully in the very near future, this is a difficult leap, and I ask the veterans to be a little patient with us, especially those of us that are a little long in the tooth, pun intended. We've been doing this for a while, and this is a completely new way of doing things, and it's taking a little bit of time. My younger doctors pick it up so fast it's frightening. But for those of us that are a little older, it's a little bit more of a struggle. The first thing that you would notice, the first part of it that you were speaking about, not a whole lot's changed in that area. But typically, and we notice this here, a lot of our veterans have a difficult time for various reasons with swallowing, open their mouths in a very big way. The trays that the goop is in is very difficult to get in. Some people just have a horrible gag reflex, and they just really can't tolerate the trays. What we use now is essentially a wand. So no more goop in your mouth. We just dry things off a little bit. We take a wand, and what we're doing at that time is we're actually using 3D video capture, and we are capturing an incredibly accurate model of the veteran's mouth without having to fill their mouths full of goop. We can do it on both the top and the bottom, and then we will also have them close, and we can tell exactly in those models on the computer how the teeth fit together, where everything is, and we can actually blow up the tooth that we just worked on to the size of the screen on the computer. So that gives us the opportunity to look very closely to make sure that everything we've done we're really happy with. And I will tell you right now, that's the big problem I'm having right now, is a lot of my docs look at that and they think, geez, I'm really terrible. But the fact is most people's teeth aren't as big as a computer screen. So it looks horrible at that point. But we're getting them past that and not getting too picky about things. We want them to be picky, but not crazy picky. Once they've done that, they can actually design the crown while the veteran's in the chair on the computer. So the veteran can actually sit there and watch us. We can put it, we design it, we decide exactly how the tooth is supposed to look, what the contours of the tooth are supposed to look like. And then we take that file and we send it to not a printer. It's actually a milling unit that's in the back of our clinic, and that will actually cut out the crown.
Doctor, from a patient's perspective, I love what you're saying. You sit in the chair, you still have to have the tooth ground down and get ready for the crown. But after that, sounds like a piece of cake.
It is for the patients, and that's what we're shooting for. But I think most importantly is we can fabricate the crown here on site. It's not a long procedure. It only takes us about 25 minutes or so. It's a soft porcelain. It hasn't been fully crystallized yet. The doctors can then go back and stain it to match the adjacent teeth to make sure it's got the look that they want. We actually crystallize the crown here. And here's the beauty of this, really. if we take it to the patient and we find out for whatever reason it's flawed, we just make another one.
Doctor, it sure sounds like you've simplified that whole process. I'm wondering, you said about coloring it, when you're in there measuring with the wand, does that also figure out the color of the other teeth so that you can match that as well?
It actually is a full color scan. So while the doctor is on the computer, really what they're shooting for at that point in time is what the contours are going to look like and how it's going to fit in the bite. But we still have the opportunity with custom stains and things like that where we can get a very, very close match. One of my doctors did a case on one of our veterans just yesterday, did his two front teeth. And I hate saying this, but they almost look better than what the good Lord put in there to begin with.
Good work, Doctor. Doctor, we have to take a short break. If you can stay with us, we're going to be back and talk more with Dr. Daniel Bates about digital dentistry. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been talking to Dr. Daniel Bates, who is the Chief of Dental Services at the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. After a long career in the Army, the Montana Air National Guard, the United States Air Force, he worked at Fort Sill for a while and then joined the Minneapolis VA in January of this year. And he heads up the dental services there with 10 full-time dentists and 6 to 8 part-time. And Doctor, fascinating discussion of digital dentistry. I happen to be a patient of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and we've learned over the last 10 years of interviews that we're fortunate here in Minneapolis to have a first-class medical center that does research, that takes care of the patients, has great facilities, and now it sounds like your department, Dental Services, Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, sounds cutting edge to me, Doctor. I haven't experienced that kind of a patient experience out in the civilian community, but well, it's amazing what you've explained in the first half about digital dentistry.
You know, and one thing I'd like to step back to real quick is that a lot of people that have had crown and bridge work often talk about the frustration of having a temporary. Doesn't feel like a real tooth, kind of rough, doesn't really work that good. And for most folks, at least 2 or 3 times before they get their final crown, it falls off. They're figuring out how they're going to get it back on. Sometimes the tooth's sensitive. We're looking at our process right now, no temporary. You're going to leave very soon, the Minneapolis VA Dental Service, within a couple hours, and you're done. The material that we're using for most of our crowns right now is lithium disilicate, which we actually mill out here on site. And we have very good studies within dentistry that go back some time that show us once we bond that crown onto your tooth, it's essentially as strong as if the tooth has never been touched.
So this can all be done in one stop instead of 2 or 3 visits to the dentist and get in there, measure it up, digitally do it, manufacture it, put it on, and in and out in a couple hours, and you're finished.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely what we're shooting for. I can tell you right now that talking with my staff, we're looking at around the February timeframe or so, we'll be doing in excess of 100 a month.
Oh, that's amazing, Doctor. So this is really cutting-edge technology at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center.
It is indeed. In fact, when I was, and I'd like all the veterans to know that being down at Fort Sill, the DOD and the VA, believe it or not, and I know people sometimes shake their head, we are far ahead of the civilian practitioners out there with the technology that we're using. Part of that is we have such great knowledge sharing. One of the things that's really a plus for this for our veterans is if we're not able to do something here, we can take those digital files and send them to another VA. Luckily, we're here in Minneapolis, and we can do pretty much more than anything anybody else can do. But let's say we have a veteran in St. Cloud, and they're unable to do whatever the procedure is or printing or milling. They can actually send us that file electronically. We can do that for them overnight and have it back for the veteran the next day.
That's amazing, Doctor, and it's great to hear. Doctor, I'm curious. I'm sure you have some dental surgeries, maybe some reconstructive surgeries. Does this technology allow you to help the surgeons plan and prepare and get that done in a better manner as well?
Yes, absolutely. And this has made a huge difference. I'm sure that most folks out there can imagine looking at a picture that's two-dimensional and trying to think about how that looks three-dimensionally in space. Now, in dentistry right now, we have what's called a CBCT, which is a cone beam CT or CAT scan that most people are aware of. And we can get a relatively good 3D image on the computer, and we can kind of turn and play with that. The capabilities that we have now is that we can, if we have a veteran who, let's say, has some sort of a tumor or a cancer in their jaw, and it's going to require significant surgery, we can actually take that file from that CAT scan, put it into our digital platform, manipulate that however we need to for the surgeons, and we can actually print a 3D model of that veteran's, let's say, lower jaw. That gives the chance to the surgeons to actually sit there and hold it, look at it, turn it in their hands. And we've actually had situations where they have done the surgery on the model. So by the time we get that veteran in the chair, not only is the surgeon really well-versed in what's going on, it's not the first time they've done it.
Doctor, that's got to give those surgeons a great deal of confidence when they go into that OR and start working on the vets.
Absolutely. I hope none of them are listening, but surgeons don't usually lack in confidence. But the other thing that's important for a lot of the veterans out there, and I know that implants are a big discussion, and we see the advertisements on TV. Yes, we do those here at the Minneapolis VA. We're a little slow right now. I apologize to my fellow veterans. We're a little slow getting moving again, but we'll be offering that. But probably most importantly is we can do those scans. We can actually generate a guide in the computer for the surgeon to use during the surgery that is based on what the final crown is going to look at. We can actually see into the bone. We pretty much know how everything's going to go. And for the surgeon at that point, once we bring the patient in, it's like putting a big X marks the spot. The guide snaps over the teeth, tells the surgeon exactly where to put the implant, and we're seeing a significant amount of decrease of time that the veteran has to be in the chair to have the implant placed. And essentially, we already know what it's going to look like before we even start.
That's amazing, sir. We're speaking with Dr. Daniel Bates about digital dentistry on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I understand that you either are or soon will be able to digitally print complete dentures, complete a denture set for our veterans. That's, to me, that's mind-boggling.
Yes, sir. We're going to get there quick. Our goal is to be able to do that by the end of the year. The other, and the thing with the dentures, we're still working on getting the looks, the aesthetics that we want. It's a little lacking right now, but I've got some pretty artistic folks here in my clinic, and I'm sure we'll get around that. But the beauty of this is, particularly some of our veterans who are significantly disabled, they can lose a denture sometimes, and that's relatively easy to do. The unfortunate part of is, historically, if a veteran lost a denture, let's say, they had to start the whole process all over again. There really wasn't a good option. So it was back into the dental clinic, back to the goop in the mouth, back to multiple appointments, back to doing all this other kind of stuff. Not only for our veterans that need dentures, but for our veterans that are having other procedures done, once we have that scan, if I want another cast, I don't have to bring that veteran back. I just print another one. If a veteran loses their dentures, they can call us on the phone. Hey, this is Staff Sergeant so-and-so, and I lost my denture. Is there any way I can get a new one? Pretty soon we're going to say, come on in tomorrow morning, it'll be ready.
Just invite them back to the hospital and put them on KP for the morning, and when they're done with that, give them a new set of dentures. Very good, very good, doctor.
Exactly.
They got to pay some penalty for losing the dentures. Doctor, we just got a couple minutes left. What's the future of this technology? It's just, you've enlightened me today. This is amazing what you've been able to do.
I am amazed every day, particularly with my the docs that I have working with me here. The question is what doesn't it do? A lot of them will come in and say, hey, do you think that maybe we can do this? And by golly, about 2 days later, one of them standing in here with a model in their hand, hey, look what I did. You know, part of what we're doing here, Dr. Josh Eggebrotten, who is kind of our guru for this here on staff. We actually had some training with our residency program here. He built a model that we 3D printed on site that our residents were able to place implants in something about as close as you can get to a real human as possible.
Doctor, no wonder you're so excited about this. It's all I can think of is a greatly improved patient experience with the use of all of this technology. This has got to be great for our veterans.
It is, and I'm excited about it. And a veteran myself, I can't think of a population that deserves it more.
Doctor, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to share this information with us today.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Thank you, sir. That was Dr. Daniel Bates on digital dentistry at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn all about the VESE chapter of the Association of the United States Army. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Our Minnesota Veterans Homes provide quality health care in an environment of trust, dignity, and sharing. Our homes provide a safe and comfortable environment for veterans and their spouses to call home. Veterans Homes are located across the state in five locations, including Minneapolis, Fergus Falls, Hastings, Laverne, and Silver Bay. In addition to these homes, plans are moving forward for three new veterans' homes, which will be located in Bemidji, Montevideo, and Preston. Our vision is to continually develop and deliver a safe, dignified, and compassionate health care system while providing a nurturing and engaging home environment for our Minnesota heroes. We deliver personalized care according to the individual needs of each resident. Our facilities are operated 24/7 to ensure the safety and comfort of our veterans. If you are a loved one or interested in applying to one of our veteran homes, applications are available at minnesotaveteran.org. At the Minnesota Veterans Homes, every day is Veterans Day.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to the show. Didn't we just talk last week?
Yes, we did. What a wonderful 10-year anniversary show it was.
That was a lot of fun, and bringing back clips from some of your favorite guests that we've interviewed, that was great. You did a wonderful job. Thank you. Today, we want to talk about the John VESE chapter of the Association of the United States Army, and you've got a guest. Would you like to introduce her?
Yes. One of our key partners is our one and only Association of the United States Army chapter in Minnesota, and the president of that is Jocelyn Kujala, and she's done an amazing job leading the effort for the VESE chapter.
Jocelyn, welcome back
welcome
to Minnesota
Jocelyn.
Military Radio.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's hard to believe this is our third annual visit to the show, and we really appreciate our chance to come on here and highlight what we're doing.
Always good to talk to you. And Jocelyn, this year, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the chapter namesake, who is General Jack VESE Jr. Can you give us a little background on him and his relationship with the association?
Yeah, absolutely. Jack VESE, as he was known by his family, friends, loved ones, et cetera, he was a career officer with the U.S. Army. He's got an incredible list of accomplishments, awards, achievements. Better known by a lot of people as the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under Ronald Reagan. And, you know, he's just an incredible patriot and somebody that any uniformed service person would aspire to follow in similar footsteps. And then on top of that, an avid golfer, storyteller, incredibly genuine and personable guy. And I love when I go, you know, anywhere in the military community and somebody hears that I represent his namesake chapter, just to the incredible things that people have to say about him. So we've got actually an entire page dedicated to a history of Jack VESE on our website. And I highly recommend checking that out at www.vesechapter.org.
And what a great gentleman to have as the chapter namesake. We had him on the show when he was still with us, and he was in the Army and served from every rank, from private to four-star general, and then, of course, was chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and what an incredible man. Jocelyn, association, the local chapter, the VESE chapter of the Association of the United States Army, what's your mission and what are you doing here locally during this crazy COVID year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our mission remains support of the entire Army and including, you know, the reserve component, which is prevalent here in Minnesota, and their family and all veterans. So locally, we are, you know, we've got a handful of different programs that have gained in popularity and success over the years. You'll hear more from Mike about our Toys for Military Kids, which is in its 19th year. But we also have plethora of different networking opportunities, opportunities for, you know, local businesses to be introduced into the Defense Department type opportunities for them. We also host the holiday party at the VA on the polytrauma unit every year, providing gifts and an enjoyable time for those veterans that are experiencing that right now on an annual basis. And then, of course, leadership opportunities for the JROTC and ROTC programs statewide, which have been hugely successful for those cadets that are looking for opportunities for leadership, networking, you know, or even their own mission to, at the Bataan Memorial Death March or the Army 10 Miler.
We're talking about the VESE chapter of the Association of the United States Army on Minnesota Military Radio. Jocelyn, everything about 2020 has been different due to the pandemic. And I know that you have monthly meetings and used to have them out at the Officers Club out by the airport. But I'm guessing for the last 7 or 8 months, you've probably had virtual meetings. Is that how it's working?
We have. We've been doing all of our meetings using some virtual software. We have a really nice base of local members who, you know, continued to show up month after month for years at the Officers Club. We ultimately moved over to the Richfield Legion after the Officers Club closed. So this has been a really tough time for us when we look at some of our most active members and leaders. You know, they don't necessarily have a history of utilizing the technology the way that we've all had to learn how to do. So, we've still got a number of people that are coming every month to our virtual meetings, and we're able to get the business done. But we definitely are looking forward to some sense of normalcy at some point. We've been instructed, or I should say guided, by our national leadership not to have any in-person events or meetings whatsoever, which has hugely impacted our ability this year to execute some of our programming. Our golf outing was had to be canceled. And, starting with that Bataan Memorial Death March back in March, we had a group of cadets headed out there, and that was the first event we had to cancel. And ever since then, really everything other than our virtual monthly meetings have been either not held as they normally would have been, or we've had to adapt entirely how we plan to execute some of this programming, and it's made our fundraising efforts incredibly hard this year.
Annette, I've seen you at these meetings and networking with all the people that used to come to the meetings. It's got to make you sad. You can't be elbow to elbow with all of the great folks that are members of the Association of the United States Army.
Yes, I've been able to attend their meetings, and Jocelyn recruited me as chapter secretary, so I help them out with meeting minutes. But it's been an opportunity to kind of have to recreate the wheel, but Jocelyn and her leadership have done a great job with that.
Jocelyn, we just got about a minute left in this segment. Coming up in the holidays, you usually have a holiday party over at the VA, and we've got another program that you work closely with, Toys for Military Kids. How is that going for how, what are you planning on for the rest of this year?
Well, I think the way it's shaping up for the holiday party at the VA is, like I said, due to our guidance from National, we probably will not host a similar party, but we do plan to provide those veterans with the gift bags that make that such a successful event for them every year. And of course, our monetary donation of about $5,000, which helps those veterans with their reintegration efforts back into, you know, society. So Outside of a party where we enjoy music and cookies and dancing, we hope to continue the gift bag and the monetary donation this year.
Very good, Annette. Jocelyn, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the VESE chapter, the Association of the United States Army, and specifically a holiday program called Toys for Military Kids. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs, and Jocelyn Cookson, the President of the AUSA chapter, the VESE chapter, the Association of the United States Army. And Jocelyn, in this segment, we want to talk about a program that's called Toys for Military Kids. And we've got another guest joining us. Would you like to introduce him?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the 19th year of this program, huge, huge success. And with the COVID virus, you know, things are looking a little different. We've got Mike Clark, the chair of that program, and he's here to tell you why it's a little bit different and what we are asking for from listeners today.
Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I don't know how many years this makes that you've visited with us, but quite a few.
This makes seven, Tom. I'm proud to be part of your 545th show and my seventh appearance.
Very good, sir. For our listeners, can you give us a little background? Toys for Military Kids. What we've heard over the years, you collect toy donations and distribute them to struggling military families during the holidays. Give us a little background on that and tell us how has that changed from last year to this year due to the COVID pandemic?
Well, yes, Tom, as you know, Les Hansen started this program in 2001 with a $100 bill and wanting to give toys to military children. And it's morphed into over $25,000 a year in the 19 years that the program's been in existence. My wife and I have took it over from Les in 2014, and this will be our seventh year, or 19th year overall. But as you said, with everything, with 2020 being what it is, we've had to change our program a little bit. We would have had over 125 boxes out by now, taking advantage of all of the wonderful people. But COVID has kind of threw us a curveball, and as such, some of the buildings were destroyed, some were closed. And so we made the decision to issue $100 gift cards to military families in need, utilizing Jackie Ross and her wonderful group of soldier family readiness specialists that basically blanket the state from Arden Hills, Bloomington, Brainerd, Brooklyn Park, Cambridge, Camp Ripley Training Center, Duluth, Invergrove Heights, Mankato, Moorhead, Montevideo, New Ulm, Rosemount, and St. Cloud. We'll be able to canvass the entire state from the Army perspective. And then we're also contacting all of the units that participated last year and basically working with Target and Walmart gift cards for $100 and issuing those to families in need. And there'll be applications at all of the sites that I mentioned, and they will give us basically vet, no pun intended, but they will basically canvass the group and give us the contacts, and they will make the presentation. We will simply gather the cards, assuming that the donations come in, and issue $100 gift cards for them to present to the families in need.
So, Mike, this year, instead of having a house full of toys that you've already collected, you're looking for donations and money so that you can buy the gift cards.
That is correct, and we've been really blessed this year, Tom, already. The wonderful people, Jessica Fields and her wonderful members of the Apple Valley Rotary have already sent in a donation and challenging other Rotaries throughout the state of Minnesota to match or exceed. But we've already raised close to $3,000, and the donation letters have not gone out. I should note, and it will make Annette proud, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies and communities have already contacted us about making donations. Ameriprise and Thomson Reuters from the company standpoint, but a number of different locations, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies have contacted us of how we can help.
Mike, we're just about out of time, Mike. So if our listeners want to help and make a donation, how do they do it?
two things. They can either email me at MS, as in Mike Sandy, msclark454@comcast.net, or they can send a check to Toys, number 4, Military Kids, at 3432 Denmark Avenue, Suite 242, Eagan, Minnesota.
Very good, Mike. I hope you have a great year, and I look forward to next year being more normal. Jocelyn, just a couple of seconds left. I'm sure you've got information on Toys for Military Kids on your website.
We absolutely do. www.vesichapter.org.
All right, Jocelyn, Mike, Annette, thanks for joining us again today, and I hope this hope everybody has a good and safe holiday season.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Jocelyn Cookson and Mike Clark from AUSA and Toys for Military Kids. Joining me now is the senior enlisted leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to be back.
Sergeant Major, 2020 has been a crazy year. It's been a busy year with deployments, both state deployments and federal deployments. How are your soldiers and airmen holding up?
You know, remarkably, they're doing fantastic. We just had another unit go out the door. They're staying CONUS, right? They're going to be at Fort Meade, but we had another 35 soldiers depart just recently to be a part of the cyber protection team at Fort Meade. So it's the 177th Cyber Protection Team, and they'll be doing a fantastic job out there defending our networks from foreign actors.
So, Sergeant Major, is that those 35 soldiers going out there to help on a national effort and probably get up to speed and come back and do some great things when they come home?
Absolutely. So this is essentially their final step before they become fully realized as a cyber protection team. They'll be part of or in support of U.S. Cyber Command and our Cyber National Mission Force out at Fort Meade. Which is out in Maryland, for those that aren't aware where Fort Meade is, co-located by the NSA.
And, of course, Sergeant Major, we don't think about it too much, but cyber protection is more and more important every year, isn't it?
Absolutely. It just becomes a bigger and bigger thing. You know, it's the forefront of what we're doing now in multi-domain operations within the Department of Defense.
Sergeant Major, you got those soldiers going out. We've got the two of the 135 over in the Horn of Africa. You've got some MPs down at Gitmo. But the good news is we just got some soldiers back. The 34th ECAB returned from the Middle East.
Absolutely. We had over 700 soldiers return a couple weeks ago. The Adjutant General and I were out there to be able to greet them. Came in various locations out at the airport over a couple of days, and it was awesome to see the reaction between the soldiers and their families when they finally got to see each other after a long 10-month deployment. But, you know, Tom, we've got something special for you coming up. Hey, Sergeant First Class Cooper, can you take it over from here?
I absolutely can, Sergeant Major. Tom, we wanted to invite a few friends to join us for this. So, joining us now is the director of the Minneapolis VA, Director Patrick Kelly, and his public affairs officer, our producer, Brad Dobzinski, as well as our producer, Miss Annette Kuiper, and from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, for which you volunteer, Board Vice President, Major General Retired John Trost. From the Minnesota National Guard, we have the Director of Strategic Communications, Lieutenant Colonel Colin Fleming, and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. General, the floor is yours.
Hey, Tom. Hey, I just want to say again, congratulations on the 10-year show. And in honor of all your accomplishments and contributions to both the state of Minnesota and the Minnesota military community, Governor Walz has proclaimed November 7th the Tom Lyons and Minnesota Military Radio Day. And with that, we've got a proclamation that we're going to have Lieutenant Colonel Fleming read. Congratulations, Tom.
Thank you. Whereas Tom Lyons founded the Minnesota Military Radio Show in Minneapolis in November 2010 as a joint effort with iHeartMedia, Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs, and the Minnesota National Guard, and whereas Tom Lyons has volunteered countless hours over the past 11 years, recording 544 episodes and conducting more than 1,200 interviews to inform veterans, service members, and their families about key issues affecting them. And whereas Tom Lyons and the Minnesota Military Radio Show have a weekly presence on 63 radio stations, reaching nearly every community in the state with an estimated audience of 250,000 per week. And whereas Tom Lyons brought the expertise of the Minnesota National Guard, Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, the Minnesota Veteran Affairs Healthcare System, and other organizations each week to the citizens of Minnesota. And whereas through his vision and organizational skills, Tom Lyons has played a significant role in the leadership of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation with effective communication, clear and concise expectations, and smart decisions enabling the continued success of the foundation. And whereas through his service to the foundation as event committee chair, Tom Lyons organized 11 events over 11 years, raising more than $1 million directly contributing to the emergency grants given to more than 2,000 military families to cover unexpected expenses. And whereas the state of Minnesota recognizes Tom Lyons for his dedicated service to our state and country. Now, therefore, I, Tim Walz, Governor of Minnesota, do hereby proclaim Saturday, November 7th, 2020, as Tom Lyons and Minnesota Military Radio Show Day. Signed, Tim Walz, Governor, and Peggy Flanagan, Lieutenant Governor.
After 544 shows, I'm speechless. You surprised me, and I don't know what to say other than thank you for the opportunity, and I hope we have another great decade coming up. So appreciate it, everybody. Thank you very much.
Outstanding. Tom, well deserved.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Daniel Bates from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Jocelyn Cookson from the Association of the United States Army, Mike Clark from Toys for Military Kids, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we hear from our recently returned soldiers from the 34th ECAB and check in with the DAV of Minnesota. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.